Now, it's our opportunity to read some scriptures together. So we're going to put the words up on the screen from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through to 18, I think it is. And this is the visitation of the angels to the shepherds. So let's read this together, shall we? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So this evening, our focus has been on the story of the Nativity. And the word Nativity in English has its roots way back as far as the 14th century, when it simply meant to be born. And we later got that word native from the same root. But when we think of the word Nativity with a capital N, then we're referring to an event that took place much, much earlier, over 2,000 years ago, in fact, at the time when Jesus was born. And we tend to commemorate that particular event in lots of different ways. But this evening, I want us to think of two ways for us to commemorate it through using these this very simple phrase: tell the story, find the Saviour. So first of all, tell the story. At Christmas time, we do that in a variety of ways, but perhaps the most familiar ways that school teachers and Sunday school teachers do this is to arrange a children's nativity, where part of their annual school programme is that they will dress children up as various characters of the story, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, the angel, there's usually a donkey in there somewhere. And the parents then come and attend the performance, and they smile all the way through it and maybe shed a little tear as they see their little child performing in this particular nativity play. And of course, there's lots of poetic license in school nativities, where they may drift quite considerably away from the original story, but they're still lovely to watch. I remember on one occasion when I was invited to a nativity play at a local infant school where I was a governor, and they were performing the play called A Present for the Baby. And the simple idea was that baby Jesus was crying, and for some reason, this little boy took it upon himself to find a way to stop baby Jesus crying. And if you've seen this particular play, you'll know what I'm about to say. That first of all, he organized kings and queens to come into the presence of the baby and to offer him emeralds, of all things. But still, the baby cried. And so then a festive choir came into the room, made up of year ones, I think. And they all sang to the baby Jesus, and yet still he cried. And then it started going quite strange. Children dressed as elephants then came into the room with artificial trunks, and they started to sing a song and do a dance, and then they left the room, but still the baby cried. And then once the elephants have left, loads of belly dancers came into the room and started to dance for baby Jesus in the most provocative ways, I would hasten to add, and yet still the baby cried. And I have to say, that's the only nativity story I've ever been to in performance where elephants and belly dancers appeared in the same performance, and it did make me smile a lot, and it was thoroughly enjoyable. And I'm glad to say At the end, the boy did find a way to stop the baby crying, which was to give him a cuddle and a kiss. Which makes me just wonder, why didn't he think of that in the first place, or somebody else, and save all the bother, and the elephants and the belly dancers could have had a night off. But anyway, we wouldn't have had an interesting nativity play if we'd done that. So some people do this to kind of tell the story. Some go a little bit further and actually will have live animals. And you may have already been somewhere else where you've seen a live nativity where it's live people and they bring in a real donkey. Now, in America, of course, they will take it much further. And you may have seen in the news that in Kansas, they had a drive-through nativity and they had a real camel. And the camel got away and ended up legging it down the highway. and for quite a long time, the authorities gave chase of this camel to try and round it back up again before it got hurt or it hurt other people. And eventually they caught it and took it back again. So enacted nativities are usually things to remember, and they're a lovely way to tell the story. But there are other ways in which this is done. For example, songwriters will tell the story of the nativity through writing a carol or writing a Christmas song. And of course, we've sung some of those or heard them sung this evening. And either they will contain the whole story of the nativity, or they might just reflect on one aspect, like the shepherds or the wise men. Artists creatively have told the story of the nativity in the form of paintings over many years, or using the story to make stained glass windows or mosaics that are displayed quite often in church buildings. Some artists use film to portray a visual retelling of the story of the nativity, like the film The Nativity Story, which came out, I think it was about 2006 in the cinemas. In 2016, the BBC showed a four-part series called The Nativity, and a couple of years ago, the animated film The Star was in the cinema. I think only about 1 or 2 days it got shown locally here, and it's on Prime Video now if you want to see it from the animal's point of view. And a good film that is in itself. And for those of you who might feel very crafty at Christmas, then you have the opportunity to create your own nativity scene. You can do that through paper and cardboard or plasticine, or you can knit the nativity to create the nativity. And if you want to get a little kind of wet in your appetite for that, you'll see that there's a little nativity in the foyer. That was you, Rachel, wasn't it?
Crocheting.
It was crocheting. So it's a crochivity.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite work, does it really? No, you need to learn to knit. Okay, all right, so next year's challenge for you. Okay, it's beautiful what you've crocheted as well, but you get the idea there. If anyone wants to knit us a nativity, I'd like one about this, each character about this high for next year, okay? If anyone would take that, I've got a whole year to do it. If anyone's got the skill, please tell me you're going to do it, because I don't want loads of them. But if so, I'd love one of those. That would be great. Thank you very much. And I am serious, by the way. I would love a 3-foot nativity knitted, please. So over to you on that one. Talking of, you can get that book, or you can get these kind of books, for example, where authors tell the nativity story. Either they tell it in a way that you can read to your children as a story, or maybe a theologian or an historian might write a book about the spiritual significance of the nativity, or tell you something about the historical background of what first century Palestine was like when Jesus was born into it. Or maybe others will try and debunk the whole nativity story and actually try and suggest that maybe Jesus isn't real, never ever was born in the first place. Many of these forms are all kind of commercial ways to make money, and you can buy into that literally. In other ways, you can buy Christmas cards with pictures of the nativity on, or an Advent calendar, or you can even buy a jigsaw perhaps with the nativity scene on it. Or you can buy your own nativity scene and place a little one in your house. That's our one that's in our front room at the moment. Or you can buy an outside nativity. See, about that size I want the knitted ones. Okay, they're round about that big. And you can place them outside for people to be able to see. Now, on this particular occasion, there's a risk with putting everything outside, of course, because these ones were put out in Solihull a couple of weeks ago, and someone stole baby Jesus. And so they've put out kind of an appeal to the local community to search their gardens and search their bins and their hedges to try and find Jesus. And whilst that's sad, because this was something that's been passed down by generation, and they use it to raise money for a local charity, I just kind of think that's kind of symbolic, isn't it, of just how many people are kind of spending Christmas having removed Jesus from their Christmas celebrations. So there's something quite semi-prophetic of that kind of image as well, as it's sad. I haven't heard any more news as to whether they've found Jesus. I hope they have. You could take a little bit further. You could have some lights outside of the nativity scene, such as these ones. And if you've been around the corner of our building, which is over there, you'll see our own rope lights display that we've got there. And maybe we still might manage at some point, COVID stopped us from doing it, but we might be able to add some shepherds and some wise men to it, maybe even next year. Ones in light and 3-foot ones up here for me, please, for the next 6 years. Okay. Now, if you really want to get fully involved in this in the most demonstrable way, you can get an inflatable nativity. And some of these can be 7, 8, 9, 10 foot high. You can have them in your garden, or you can have them on your house if you want to. Most of these you have to go all the way over to America in order to get. You might eventually get one here. I'd love to have one of these as well if anybody wants to treat me this Christmas. And sorry I'm appealing, it's just that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get many presents this year, so I'm just sort of trying to anticipate. This morning we were asked about what we're going to get next year. Well, I'm trying to suggest what I might get next year, so there we are. But the idea there, obviously, you know, a nativity that's inflatable, and make sure it's not anywhere near any holly, or it will literally let you down. So there you go. So different types of ways in which you can have the story of the nativity, all somewhat loosely based upon the original story that's found in the Bible. And we, of course, have joined in that this evening by, through songs and poetry and reading, to see what the Bible text said about the nativity story. And telling the story at Christmas time is a lovely and positive thing to do. But I suggest there's one other step that's worth taking as well to make it of even greater significance. It's not only to tell the story, but also to find the Saviour, which of course is what the shepherds did, that passage of scripture that we read together. The angels told them part of the story and then prompted them to personally connect with the story. When they said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause a great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." That sounds like a great part of a story. They didn't explain everything about how that came about or anything like that, or the journey or anything like that, but told enough of the story to whet the appetite. And then sent a big choir of angels. We don't actually know if they sang, but they certainly praised. "Glory to God," they shouted in the highest, "and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." So they had some of the story in order to take it further. They had all the possibility that it could stop there, but it could be that they could take it further than they'd already received. They now knew that God in heaven had done something special that would bring his favour, his joy, and his peace to the world. They knew that the Messiah, the anointed one, the one they'd been looking forward to coming for generations, was now here. This message told them that he'd come and been born in the form of a baby. They knew he'd been placed in a manger, which was the feeding trough of an animal. And they knew that it was all taking place in the town of David, which was Bethlehem. So it's quite a memorable night for the shepherds. Very different than any other night they'd experienced. But now they had to decide what to do with the story. They could have just concluded they'd all eaten something and having hallucinations and then decide that they'll change their diet the following night. Or they could have been so dumbstruck that they didn't have anything to say because they didn't know what to say. Or they could have spent all night discussing what they just experienced, maybe trying to work out how many angels they'd seen. Sometimes we get all caught up with numbers, don't we, and miss the main point. Or maybe debating why the baby might actually be in a feeding trough. Why would you do that? Or maybe they could have spent the time wondering, if the Messiah has come, what's that going to do in regard to our future jobs? Will it affect our working conditions, or will it affect our jobs altogether? Because it's possible that these shepherds were the ones that actually looked after the sheep that were offered as sacrifices. And if the Messiah's come, then the sacrificial system may be ending. So their jobs may be at risk with this Messiah. They could have spent all night talking about this. Or they could have done something with the story, which the end it says there, "This will be a sign to you, you will find a baby," which implies the fact that they're being encouraged to connect with the story personally. And that's what they did. For it says, "So the angels left them, gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord told us about.'" And they did, and they went to Bethlehem, and they found the Saviour. just as it had been told. And then they went and told other people that they had found the Saviour. So they then started to tell the story to others. Now, exactly what they thought Jesus had come to save them from is not exactly known. Many Jews believe that the Messiah, their anointed one, would come back and the nation then would be handed back over to the Jews. The Messiah would remove the Roman government and put a Jewish king in its place. And maybe the shepherds saw that as being the kind of saviour that this Jesus was going to be. So when the angel said, today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you, he's the Messiah, they may have thought, this is good news, that we can now get the land back from the Romans and be saved from their rule. But whilst Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah, that's not what Jesus had come to save them from. In fact, he wasn't just coming to save the Jews, he was coming to save the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, because he was the joy for all people. He had come to become the saviour of the world. So what was it that Jesus had come to be the saviour of? What did he come to save people from? Well, to find that out, we've got to go back to what the angel had said to Joseph before Jesus was born, because he said this: Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus' name means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. He's come to save people from their sins. The Bible says that people have turned their back on God and his ways, and that Bible calls that sin. Man and God were separated as a result, and the just God said that such a willful rejection of him requires a punishment, and the punishment was the death penalty. But God was now providing a way by which that death penalty could be applied to somebody else instead of us, on behalf of us. That Jesus would take upon himself the punishment due to us, so that we, the guilty ones, can be forgiven and we can go free, thus saving us from our sins. What a strange and yet wonderful thing to do. Just imagine that someone came up to you and said, I'm going to pay off your mortgage, or pay off every loan that you have, or credit card bill. How wonderful that would be. Just imagine that somebody who was a grade A star student, offers to sit all of your exams at school or college or university or work. How wonderful would that be? Or imagine that you have a dream job and you know that there's no way you could possibly get that job, and then someone goes to the interview on your behalf and secures that job for you. How wonderful that would be. Or imagine you needed surgery or you're in extreme great pain and someone else bore that pain for you, or underwent that operation for you, and you were made well as a result. How wonderful would that be? In all of those scenarios, we would be grateful, we'll be filled with joy at having been released from the burden of these impossible situations to solve. And yet what Jesus came to do was even greater than all of those put together. God the Father came to earth in the form of God the Son to be born as one of us through the power of God the Holy Spirit, so that God, the creator of the universe, could personally identify with us, his creation, by being born just as we are, so that he could fully represent us as he took upon himself our sin and paid the price for it, so that we could be forgiven and be made right with him in Jesus' name. God with us, so that we could be with him. And what he calls us to do is to be like the shepherds and find the Saviour. So we don't just tell the story, as good as that is, but also personally connect with the one about whom the story is speaking. We're not called to worship a baby, but we are called to receive him as a Saviour. And we do that by recognizing that we have sinned, that we acknowledge that Jesus has paid the price for our sin, and inviting him to forgive us and come into our lives. And then we become part of this ongoing story of the Nativity as we tell others about what the Saviour has done for us and continues to do for us. And we can choose to do that tonight if we've never done that before, as our Christmas gift to God, give offering ourselves in gratitude for him offering himself for us. Now, if that's something you want to do, be interested in doing, or want to learn more about, then talk to me after the service or to someone else who you know is a Christian, and they'll talk to you about Jesus and they'll pray with you. Just to close, finding the Saviour isn't just about becoming a Christian. It's about following Christ and inviting him into every aspect of our life. And this Christmas is yet again very challenging, with the rise of COVID cases once again threatening our lives and our social gatherings. That challenge may be even more personal to some here or some who are worshipping with us online this evening, if you're dealing with other aspects that are causing heartache and pain. Maybe this Christmas is the first one that you're spending without a loved one because they've passed away during this year, or because a relationship has broken down this year that's resulted in you being on your own. Or maybe this Christmas you find yourself without any employment and you're worried about how you're going to support your family. Or maybe this Christmas you're concerned about some physical issue that's affecting you or someone in your family and you perceive it may get worse in the next few months. Maybe this Christmas you're needing to make a major decision in your life and it's causing immense mental pressure and causing you sleepless nights. All of these things can make it very hard to experience a happy Christmas. And we all go through times of pain and sadness and difficulties regardless of our spiritual status. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from having any problems. But when we find faith in Jesus, it adds an extra dimension to our situation. We then have the hope of Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God is with us in our dark times as well as our bright ones. God is with us, for Jesus is our Emmanuel, and he's not just for Christmas, he is for life. So as well as sharing our challenges with our close friends, let's also remember to talk to Jesus this Christmas and tell him our story. He, of course, already knows our story, but by voicing it to him, we're inviting him to come into that story and to be able to bring help within it. That maybe the one who brings joy and peace and favour into this world will bring those same things into our story, so that as we tell him our story, we will find our Saviour helping us in it. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and the worship of the wise men. And may the love of God the Father, and the joy of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Jesus Christ be with us all this Christmas and evermore. Amen.